Hello and welcome to Florida Basketball Hour. On this episode, I am going to be joined by Jennifer George, who, for those of you a little less familiar with women's basketball at the University of Florida, was an all-SEC player at Florida in multiple seasons. She was honorable mention All-American. She was all-SEC defensive team multiple times, and she has gone on to do some cool things, coaching at Montverde, running a strength program for a women's basketball program at Rollins College, and she has a really awesome nonprofit, the Girls Basketball Worldwide Foundation, which tries to get the game of basketball into underserved communities. So Jennifer and I sat down yesterday as I record this Wednesday morning very early, and we talked about her charity. We talked about what motivated her to start the nonprofit. And of course, we got into little hoops, Florida hoops, men's and women's. What she's seeing with Kelly Ray, what she's seeing with Coach Golden, and just a really cool conversation. So I hope you guys enjoy the show. Here with Florida, former All-SEC Florida Gator, Jennifer George, who's doing some really awesome stuff right now, has been coaching, has been in like the nutrition and strength game. Just kind of tell everybody like what you're up to at this moment. And, you know, I know people are probably pretty eager to hear some hoops thoughts from you too.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for having me on the show. A little bit about what I'm doing now. I'm the director of sports performance for Bishop Moore Catholic High School, as well as the strength coach for Rollins College for the women's basketball team. And I founded a nonprofit 501c3 foundation, Girls Basketball Worldwide, to be able to go into underserved communities and implement the game of basketball at a fundamental level, as well as providing mentorship to middle school age girls.
Okay, so that last part is, I mean, all that stuff is cool. And I think, you know, a lot of our listeners will be familiar with Bishop Moore, but the idea of bringing and serving underserved communities with the game of basketball is probably something that's pretty special to Eric and I as the host of the show, because we're basketball coaches, and like he's coached in Western Canada, where in Edmonton, you can imagine, how many underserved communities are just getting exposed to the sport.
Yeah.
And then my start in coaching was in Broward County down in South Florida, where, you know, I helped do a midnight basketball program, which is for those, what we used to call latchkey kids, kind of horrifyingly, you know, who didn't, if their parents are at work at night, what are they going to do? And so it's really neat that like what inspired that? Because that is so cool to me.
Well, so I'm half Jamaican. I don't have an accent, but I'm half Jamaican, half Trini. So I was able to play for the Jamaican national team from 2014 to 2018 was my last year playing for the women's team. And so just my time at training camp in Jamaica and seeing kind of the inequities and lack of resources in the country, it kind of started spurring my ideas of like how I could kind of make a difference. And then I also coach at Mount Verde Academy here in Mount Verde, Florida. And, you know, we were able to bring over about 7 international girls and some, you know, some of you that don't know Mount Verde Academy, it's obviously a prominent basketball school and they give scholarships to the boarding school. But, you know, if you come from nothing, even when you come to a really great school, you still have, you know, not many things coming from you from home. And so seeing kind of the differences and seeing what really the landscape is for girls that want to come over from either, you know, different countries to the States to try to make a future for themselves and their families. And then also going to a third world country as well, seeing that kind of spurred my brain to be able to say, hey, what can I do for a sport that did so much to me or did so much for me, I should say.
So that's incredible. And my understanding is that you're having a golf event that will support that coming up.
Yeah. So April 12th, April 11th and 12th in April in Orlando at the Rose and Shingle Creek Resort, We're having a Greens for Hoops golf scramble. And so our goal is to be able to raise funds to refurbish a basketball court in Kingston, Jamaica in this summer. So we're able to impact 3,000 kids in that community.
That's incredible. And that's coming up. That's
9 days.
Yeah, 9 days away.
Yeah.
So can people still sign up and play, or has that ship sailed?
We have a full field of golfers now. So
that's awesome.
It's really cool to see the momentum and the investment in, you know, the mission that Girls Basketball Worldwide has. However, we do have April 11th, our pre-party event. We'll have raffles, we'll have auctions. So if you're in the Orlando area, definitely stop by. But obviously, there's ways to donate on our website.
That's fantastic. And where's the website so our listeners can go and check it out?
Our website, the easier way, I guess, because if you don't have a pen or paper right now to write this down, is head to our Instagram page, which is Greens for Hoops Scramble. And then you can find our links, or you can head to my Instagram page, JenniferGeorge3, and the link is going to be in the profile. But if you have a pen and paper, it's green-hoops-scramble.com.
All right. And so just so folks know, if you do Greens Hoops Scramble right in Google, you're in pretty good shape. you're gonna access it quick. So get over there. We'll make sure we tweet it out from the Florida Basketball Hour account too. But I'm glad we started with that, because I think it's really cool what you're doing. Teaching the game of basketball is obviously a passion to you. It's a passion to us. That's why we started this podcast. We just wanted to make sure that there was a podcast that talked about the sport, but also let people learn a little bit. Yeah. I love fans, don't get me wrong, but it's like last night watching that incredible game with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and just all those stars. And it was so cool to have that studio at ESPN where they're breaking down what happened, right? Like, it wasn't just like, oh man, Caitlin Clark's on like another world heater. Well, she was,
yeah.
But there's a lot of basketball stuff going on that it's cool to be able to talk about. So, just the fact that you're teaching kids and they get the opportunity to play, but also to learn about the sport is exceptional. So thanks for that.
No problem. And also, like, nowadays, it's not just about the sport, right? Like, especially working for with sure. young girls, there's social media. There's so many pressures now going on. So we really dive into kind of the curriculum side. So every session that we have with girls in our program, we add in the curriculum from the junior NBA, Her Time to Play. So that pairs up a WNBA player with a topic like body image, nutrition, family issues. So we want to tackle a lot of these things with some of the young girls so that when they get to high school, they're able to have the tools to be able to make good decisions to obviously that might affect their life.
Yeah, no, that piece of it is incredible. And really, I think the biggest difference now, like in maybe even in women's sports more than men's sports, is like the fact that instead of just focusing on X's and O's in the game, like the impact that women's sports are having on so many lives now, I feel like is much greater than it was when I was a young person at the University of Florida.
Absolutely. MySpace was high school, I think.
Maybe yeah.
Facebook came like a junior year in college for me. Like, there wasn't anything that, like, there's no footage from me at Midtown or anywhere. Like, it just was different, and you could get away with a lot of things.
No doubt.
Not so much.
What did you think? I mean, so like, while we're on it, I'm sure our listeners would. I mean, did you watch the game? Probably a dumb question. And did you think, like, were you surprised that somebody as legendary as Kim Mulkey waited 30 something minutes to kind of change how she guarded Caitlin Clark? Like, what were your thoughts on some of that?
Well, at first I was, when I saw Flage, guard her fourth quarter, almost when the game was almost done at that point, I honestly was like, man, that did take a little bit longer. But however, I think Flage had 3 or 4 fouls at that point. So on the offensive standpoint, or the thought process strategy behind it, was, yes, I could put Flage in. She's probably the best one suited to guard her. However, I will be losing my offensive guard if she gets in foul trouble, which is very possible guarding Caitlin Clark. So I think it's just one of those things as a coach, you have to, you know, risk versus reward. And her risk was, I'd rather take the risk of keeping Flage on the court, which might just give up my best defender for Caitlin.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And that's insightful in the sense that I think a lot of people were like, I don't know why they're not adjusting. And I also think some of that is like, you're also dealing with just a creative genius who was just kind of in her moment. And I'm not saying there's nothing you can do. I think that's kind of reductionist, but to some extent, like Caitlin was going to get hers.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's when you have to really decide to, you know, try to minimize the other, you know, role players for Iowa, which is, I think, only four teams have been able to beat Iowa, which I think about like, man, like how did Ohio State do it? How did these other teams do it? Because I'm just seeing, I'm like, I don't know what this looks like. I'm actually even concerned for, I'm obviously SEC, you know, family. I'm now like South Carolina, let's go. Like if you guys make it that matchup, but I'm like, how is South Carolina going to guard them? Because they have better guard defenders. So I do think that will help, but it's tough.
Yeah, no, just an incredible game. And I saw that the at least the initial viewership numbers were higher than all but one game in the men's Elite Eight, which is astonishing. And that game was like the Duke-NC State rivalry game where you'd expect there to be,
yeah,
you know, I mean, millions upon millions.
It's a great time to be a woman in sports. I mean, even just specifically basketball. I mean, the amount of commercials I've seen since this past 2 weeks – of, you know, Cameron Brinks in commercials with NBA players. Obviously, Caitlin Clark has a multitude of commercials going out there.
Yeah.
You just see it across the board that there's just more female athletes, Juju Watkins, you know, obviously Angel Reese, like they're all over the place. And I think that's really cool to see where the game is for these young adults, you know, paving the way for this next generation of athletes.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from Kara Lawson that was like, I just got emotional about an insurance commercial. That's how good Caitlin Clark is.
No, for real. It's yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's a long time coming, but it's really, I'm happy in my lifetime I'm able to see it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So I know you are still around the Florida women's program for sure. And you know, speaking of Kim Mulkey, I think a lot of even casual Florida basketball fans, of course, know like her early endorsement of Kelly Ray Finley. Like this woman can coach. She clearly can recruit, you know, and then this team really for the second straight year, a lot of injuries for Florida, a lot of adversity that they had to battle through. And now obviously you still have the COVID year. So we don't know everything yet, but there will be some changes with the women's roster moving forward. Obviously a big infusion of talent, but what's your outlook on you know, where Florida is after a season that ended in the NIT?
Yeah, I think overall, you know, with Kelly's, you know, we can just count the 2 years, not her interim year, but I mean, she's just done a great job, I think, of kind of revamping the women's basketball program. I think like Kim Mulkey has said, she's a great recruiter. I got to see that. You know, even as an assistant with Florida previously. So as an alumni, I believe in what Kelly can do. I think it just takes time, right? Like, you know, we just saw Kelly Harper get fired at Tennessee. I think that was her fifth season. And so like, you know, some of these coaches, unfortunately, have a small window to make change. And so I think it's just being able to invest in the program, invest in Kelly and giving her that time to really change the scope of how the program has been going.
You know, one issue at times this year was Florida kind of went as they shot, which, you know, it can be, I guess, a little reductionist, but when you shoot 32% on reasonably high volume from beyond the arc, clearly you're going to have games that you win because you shoot well, and then you'll have games that frustrate a lot of people, like the Ole Miss game at home where I think they didn't make a three, or Ole Miss didn't make a three. Florida shot really well, and Florida lost the rebounding battle by, I don't know, 20, 25. You know, is help on the way there, or is it kind of going to be on some of the players that are already on the roster to improve where Florida is from just an offensive production standpoint?
Well, we got to believe that the portal, which is such a key now in recruiting, is going to play a dividends for the Gators, as well as, you know, we have O'Neal's coming, and we have I think another All-American, McDonald's All-American guard coming. So I do think, and then Rashea Kyle, you know, I think she's coming back. You know, I think she's coming back. You never know, right?
Like, hope so.
Right, like Rimdahl just, you know, posted she's going to be going into transfer portal. So,
yeah.
You never know, right? Like, we're talking about it today, and then in a few days, some things can change. But I do think that, you know, those injuries played a part. You know, Kyle going down, she was a huge factor in the offense, you know, and gave some leeway to Duke. And so I think when you have those injuries, we're seeing, like, with UConn is a UConn where they've had injuries. I think they have 7 players and they're still able to get to the Final Four.
Right.
I think just being able to have a team where you might have injuries like that, but you're still able to win throughout that. And just obviously that adjustment of coaching styles.
So I saved defense for the men's team because, like, if I'm talking to Jennifer George, I'm going to ask about defense. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just going to, like, we're talking about one of the best defenders in Florida program history on the show here. So, look, Todd's a defensive guy. Like, he really is. Like, he played at St. Mary's. It's ingrained in their culture. We saw how Florida defended last year when they had kind of an anchor in Castleton. I'm sure it drove him nuts. I actually know it. No, I drove him nuts. But to go 18, like, the refs were bad, but to go 18 possessions without a stop in the NCAA tournament,
It's, you know, unlike the Florida way. Not the Florida way. Yeah, not the Florida way. yeah, I mean, at that point, what can you really do as a coach to really, you know, inject your team of, like, hey, we need to stop. Like, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I think, did you see something that, like, obviously, you know, I understand Florida's drop pick and roll coverage came up a lot, right? I mean, and it makes sense to drop when you have two bigs, because, you know, especially with freshman bigs who can kind of struggle in the pick and roll, you know, you drop, you protect the rim better. But then we saw consistently kind of them get pushed around by kind of lower center of gravity big men. I wonder if that's, you mentioned the transfer portal, if that's a transfer portal issue, especially with Reese leaving, or if it's, you know, kind of a Condon and how grow up issue, or a little of both. What do you see with Florida and sort of their scheme defensively?
Well, I mean, like we said previously, Coach Todd, like, that's what he's known for, right? Like, you know, who am I to second guess his strategy when it comes to defense? but I do think, you know, like you said, they're younger players, and that takes some time to really, you know, go through that experience, and then an off season, and then continue working with the footwork, especially when you're a big man defending the pick and roll, or, you know, bigger guys. You know, for me, I think that as I got more in depth with my, you know, sophomore year, junior year, and got more experience under my belt, like, I was just a better defender. And so I think that will take time with these young guys, if they stay the course, if they stay in the program and continue on with what coaches is really preaching.
No, we did have one of the best offenses in program history, and just electric guards with Walt and ZP, and, you know, even some games with Riley, who we wish luck at Kansas. Yeah. Was that fun to kind of watch Florida, you know, score again? I know when we were in school, beautiful offense was kind of a thing with the men's team.
Yeah, and we didn't even know it. Back then, we were just like, oh, like, this is just normal. Like, this is – we're used to seeing this. And then we go a couple – you know, a few years without having that kind of offensive juggernaut. And now we're seeing it coming back. And it's really exciting to see just the – I don't know. I think there's just more energy going into the both Florida programs, male and – or men and women.
When did you kind of know that – you know, you said you had to grow into it defensively. Like, when did you know that was something that you could use to kind of spur the rest of your game? Maybe you don't even feel like that's what you did, but it always seemed like your team kind of thrived and fed off some of your defense?
Well, I knew that in high school. You know, at high school, I was athletic, so I was blocking shots and rebounding. I think once you get to college and you transition, the game's faster. So it takes you time to, okay, yes, I know I'm athletic. Yes, I know I have all these attributes, but like now how do I use it smartly to have the advantage over my offense, you know, my opponent. And I think that's what took, it was more the mental side. Like the physical side I had, and I already knew that, but just knowing, okay, how can I really use this? How can I anticipate the steal at the top of the key? How can I, you know, I'm going up against I think she was 6'8", Kiki Carey from Auburn. I'm only 6'1". Like, how am I going to make this work? And so using my strength when I need to, and then using my speed when I need to, you know, so and then Mississippi State, they had those like, you know, tall Nigerian girls always come. I don't know how they picked them up. I feel like Mississippi State was like the team that like was going overseas before everyone else was going overseas. They always had these tall girls, you know, coming from Nigeria. So, you know, just knowing, you know, how to maneuver through, okay, what are my attributes and what am I really good at? And then how can I use that against my opponent?
Is there a player on the men's or women's side? And maybe it's both. Maybe there's like somebody that sticks out on both sides that you're really just jazzed about as an alum, as a coach, just seeing how they develop. I mean, I think Alex Condon is kind of the obvious answer for the men's team. Is there somebody in the women's program right now that you know Kelly Ray is really excited about, or that you're just excited about?
I'm getting
on the spot a little. I know.
I know. I'm like looking at. I'm like. I would probably say Kindred. I liked seeing her for the women's side. Just her minutes. Her athleticism. I thought she had some good minutes there in the stretch of the end of the, you know, into the SEC tournament, the NIT. So I'm excited to see what she can do if she continues on. And yeah, I think that she could be a key role or a key piece for the Gators.
No, I love that. What are your, and she's from the portal. So like, as a, you know, what are your kind of, you know, you're somebody that was at Florida, right? Like what's your view of this sort of brave new world? And the one that's for me, like as a coach, like I kind of think it's wonderful because the players have the autonomy to kind of go where they want, and they can never stop a coach from leaving. So, you know, my kind of simplistic view, I guess, is this is good, but it is crazy when you see thousands and thousands of names in the portal by like a week after the Final Four.
Yeah, and I think it was the Illinois coach said it. He was like, you know, getting ready for an Elite Eight game, but he was focused on like, you know, recruiting, and his two other assistant coaches were in the portal, and his other, like, he said there needs to be like, it's madness right now. Yeah. And I do think there needs to be some kind of adjustment, just because, I mean, it takes away probably from the game, possibly, you know, when you're focusing. So I called them, I did broadcasting for the CBI. College Basketball Invitational tournament down in Daytona Beach. Yeah. And there were some teams I was doing research on. I'm studying the teams, and I get there and they're like, yeah, this guy didn't make the trip. He's in the pool. Like, this guy didn't make the trip. And it's like, wow, like these are key players for that program. And so I think it's just really a tough time I wouldn't want to be a college coach. I'm not going to lie. It just seems like it's a wild, wild west. It's just like, you know, you think you're not just coaching the players and like trying to grow them as women and men. You're focusing on, okay, how can I make this generation happy so they can stay within the course of what we're trying to do? Which I think is a tall task, but obviously some coaches are doing a really good job at it and some coaches are trying to figure it out.
Hey, I wouldn't want to coach college either. And you know, it's funny, like you were at Montverde, like Westminster Academy where I was down in Fort Lauderdale, like these schools. Like, I love watching the Final Four, men's Final Four, three high school coaches.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, that is a perfect spot. You know, like these guys came up, they made the Final Four. I know there's millions and millions of dollars in it, but I promise you they work for that money.
They work for it. Like, there's 2 weeks off in the year that they get. Was it May and August? That's it. The rest is 24/7 recruiting. That's the job, right? Like, it's recruiting and then obviously how you schedule, right? Because if you don't schedule right and you don't put yourself to be in the tournament or however that be, then like your job security is pretty low.
So last question, and I want to close with the women's Final Four, because I think you mentioned what an exciting time it is. Like, do you think that there's a favorite? I know everybody, I think like a lot of people in America probably want Caitlin Clark to win, but I mean, watched a little of the UConn game last night. I watched more of their Sweet 16 game. Gosh, they're really good.
Yeah. The favorite for me, though,
South Carolina.
Yeah. Like Dawn Staley, that I just haven't seen a team, and including Iowa, which I think Iowa is built to last, but South Carolina, there just isn't a team with their depth, with their, I mean, they got starters on their bench, and it's not just one. It's not just two. It's literally like six starters on their bench just waiting to get in. And Dawn Staley, she said it in their last game post game comments. She was like, women are sacrificing on the bench and they don't have as much time, but when they get in, they make a difference. And like, I just haven't seen a team that has it for them. Now, I do think there's going to be some matchup differences for if South Carolina and Iowa make it to the championship game. However, I mean, I don't see it. No one has what South Carolina has from top to bottom.
So I guess I'll close with this. I cheated because I got one more question since you mentioned South Carolina. Like Lamont, I talked to Lamont Paris. I wrote a story for Saturday Down South, got to talk to their staff. And Eddie Shannon, former Gator, who's on Lamont's staff up at South Carolina, said, you know, he thinks that for young black men and young black women, just seeing Dawn dominate a sport the way that she does is something that is kind of moving to him. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. And, you know, as someone that came up, there wasn't as many black women coaching. You know, she makes, you know, Dawn Staley was actually at South Carolina, but they weren't as good when I was playing.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I look at the scope now of like the, you know, black female coaches and men and women, and mm-hmm. it would have changed my vote, you know, not vote, but like how I would have came up. I'm not saying I wouldn't have gone to Florida, cause go Gators for life. But, but I mean, if I saw the landscape and I was like, man, like this is someone like I want to learn from, I want to, you know, become a woman under this, you know, can we curse on here? Badass woman.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely amazing that, you know, to see it or to believe it, you guys see it. And this generation of, you know, black and women and men are able to kind of see what's going on up there.
That's awesome. Jennifer, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And yeah, everybody make sure that you check out, give this a golf event.
Greens for Hoops Golf Scramble. Got some WNBA players coming down from the Atlanta Dream. We have WNBA champion in Teresa Plaisance. I mean, it's going to be a great event. Orlando community is going to come out and show out. And so if you want to be a part of it, definitely April 11th, come to our pre-party. We are on a wait list for this golf scramble, but you never know what's happened.
Yeah, show up to that pre-party, y'all, and have a good time. Jennifer, thank you. As always, go Gators.
Go Gators.